Okay. Today is April 18th. I'm Nancy Creason talking with Jan Anderson about District 15 Nurses Association to help preserve the history of the district, which is a local arm of the American Nurses Association through the Illinois Nurses Association. But before we get to District 15, Jan, would you please briefly give us a little bit about yourself and your nursing history career?
Okay, well, I'm Janet Anderson. I graduated from Williamsport Hospital School of Nursing in Pennsylvania, which was a three-year diploma program. It was 3 years around the clock. So I graduated in 1953, which is very different than it is now. So I worked full-time at my own hospital for a year, and then at that time, it was before the psychotropic drugs, you had these large state or mental health hospitals. Mm-hmm. And as a part of my three-year program, we were required to do a three-month psychiatric affiliation, and I went to Warren State Hospital, which had 4,000 patients in about five different buildings, you know, different degrees. And that's where I met my husband. That was his hometown. And
it's Warren, Pennsylvania?
Yes. Yeah, yeah. And so then I went back. I went to work there for a year, really more in the infirmary. It was a fairly large building, and half of what we did was with employees that had health problems or broke a leg or something, and the rest was with mental patients that came from the other buildings. And I worked there a year, then got married, and we went to Connecticut, and I worked 2 years there in the Middlesex Memorial Hospital on a medical surgical unit. And then we came to Illinois, where my husband was going to work in a PhD program, and his advisor said he would not recommend any other place except the U of I, because it had a very strong physics department. We thought we'd go back east, but we're still here. And while I was here, first worked at Carl back in what would have been 57. But their policy at that time was that you couldn't work after your 6 month if you were pregnant. So I had, even though I felt good and needed the money, I had to quit. Versus when my daughter was working there, she worked the day her water broke and she went and checked herself in. So, you know, policies have changed a lot over the year. And then I went back part-time for a little while after my children were born, but there was a gap of about, I'm not sure exactly, 6 to 8 years that I really wasn't working, and I felt I wanted to get back in, but I felt a little strange about going back. Would I remember anything? And took a refresher course through Parkland before they had their present buildings. It was in out on West Springfield in what used to be a grocery store. Mm-hmm. And I took that, and we had clinicals, and I did clinicals at Burnham. And then I was hired to work at Burnham after I finished that, which would have been earlier in 69, I think it was. And then that's when, so I worked for about a half a year, and that's when the nurses' strike started, or when we were trying this attempt to get a nursing committee.
And why did you want a nursing committee? What was the bottom line here?
The bottom line was that, you know, especially with the University of Illinois being here, a lot of wives were going to the hospitals to work for a short time while they were here. It wasn't that they didn't really know what they were doing, but we had no like protocols
policies
on the floor,
and procedures that can
on the floor. Mm-hmm. And so we thought it would be much better if we had some of that people could look at, and we were all on the, you know, kind of the same page. And so we had been meeting, I'm not sure how many times, but I can remember going to at least several meetings and attempting to meet with the administration, and we were accused of wanting to administrate the hospital, which was the last thing that really the nurses were interested in. They wanted to do nursing. Mm-hmm. And I guess then go on maybe in.
Well, yeah, when did the district, or when did the Nurses Association come into this place?
I was not a part of, I did not have membership in the district or INA until after we went through, you know, the strike and the help that we got from the Illinois Nurses Association. They came down and they had a lawyer that gave us advice and so forth, and then a lot of us joined the American Nurses Association through, you know, the Illinois Association at that time. I think there were quite a few other nurses, you know, like myself.
Were they involved before or after the strike, or during the strike then, Nurses Association? Do you remember?
It was after the strike started, as I remember, that we needed help, and we were looking to the association, and I don't remember his name, but this lawyer came down a number of times and met with us and gave us, you know, his opinions and suggestions of, you know, how we could go about this.
Let's just back up a little bit and get the story about the decision to strike. What stimulated that?
Well,
in the end,
I, like I say, had really just started back to work, and there were there was one other nurse that I remember particularly. We had both been in that refresher course together. Mm-hmm. We both, you know, started working at Burnham at the same time. Neither one of us saw us being involved in, I mean, hadn't even thought about anything like that happening. And I was working on a medical floor, and my head nurse was a graduate of Burnham. She'd been, I felt, an excellent nurse. She'd just recently been promoted to her position as head nurse, you know, so they recognized her as someone. We had been meeting several times, and we had a nurse's bulletin board, and she was putting a notice up about the meeting, you know, to remind people, and it was on a Sunday, and the assistant director of nurses was on that weekend to, you know, be on call for whoever needed help, and she asked Paula, why are you involved in this sort of thing? And Paula proceeded to tell her what we were, and she fired her, not for anything that had anything to do with what she was doing as far as nursing, but it was just her involvement in putting it up. And we met that night, and we had a lot of people coming. I think it was about 80% of the nurses that were working that came to those meetings, and they explained what had happened, and we had a long discussion and decided that we would ask them to rehire her, and if they would rehire her by Wednesday, then everything would be fine. But if they didn't, we would go out and strike. And I think most of us in that room thought they would rehire her, but Wednesday came and they didn't. And so, it was a unanimous vote that night. Everybody agreed on that. We all maybe had different expectations, I'm not sure. But, and so we did go out on strike. And that was, it was in the fall, because I remember doing the clinicals in the summer and kind of like being hired around September. And I personally and this friend of mine, Glenna, we walked the picket line every day. We never interrupted people coming and going. You know, we might stand up fairly close, but we didn't keep people from entering or leaving. And it's kind of losing my track. I guess one of the other things I wanted to say was this was when ICU units were just coming about. Mm-hmm. They did not have any at Burnham. They had just sent four or five nurses off for some special training, and they had two rooms set up on the medical floor for them to work mm-hmm. out of. And they all went out on strike. But we didn't want people to be jeopardized in their health care. And so they offered to come in if there was somebody that needed those units. And again, it was...
They said no.
Hell no, we don't want you. And so they used nurses that had not worked for a long time. And in some ways that's fine, but you know, when you've got a whole lot of them coming in that haven't worked for a long time, there were surgical procedures that you could cancel without, you know, jeopardizing people's health. But, you know, it did seem like offering to do that for the ICU unit. But it was a large learning.
Mm-hmm. How long was the strike then?
It was about 4 months, as I remember.
And then what happened?
And then we decided that nothing, you know, we weren't making any movement. And there were a couple of the nurses that had to, you know, financially go back to work. And a couple of them did go back into Burnham. Most of the people after the strike went other places, like Donna and her sister, they went to the VA.
Were they? When was the firing then? When did that happen?
Well, it was interesting. They said they didn't fire us, but they had this, I think it's probably in my file, they had a big newspaper ad that said, you know, like essentially we were let go, but that wasn't, they didn't consider being fired, but we considered it. Being fired. People went to Champaign County Nursing Home. Some left the community and went other places to work. Nearly everybody went somewhere else and found a job. But in a way, it looked like we had not gained anything. But we did have, I remember, several Carl nurses particularly that used to come and walk with us and were supportive. And so some of the things that we were asking for, it was Mercy Hospital at that time, Mercy and Carl started implementing. Mm-hmm. So in some ways we felt we personally may not have gained what we had hoped, mm-hmm. but there were other things happening in the community that made us feel that it was worthwhile.
And it's
at that point, with the help that we got from the Illinois Nurses Association and particularly from the lawyer that they had come down and work with us, that a number of us joined the organization and had not been a member of INA before that. And then that's how I got involved with the district at that point. I don't remember the exact dates. I just sort of remember the time, mm-hmm. the time frame. Like I say, it was a very learning experience for me, you know, to see the pressure that you got from various parts of the community and the support that you got. We had several days on the weekend that we invited community support, and we had a lot of people from the community come out. Some of them are, you know, our relatives, but a number of them mm-hmm. were not. Do you remember Mr. the weatherman, the real...
Mr. Roberts.
Roberts. He was very supportive. He used to come and walk with us. and, you know, would talk with us, and he felt it all seemed very reasonable. Yeah. And the myths that I remember, Glenda and I would walk from like 7 to 10 in the morning. And I remember going home one day and turning on Penny for Your Thoughts. And there's this man talking about how the nurses on strike are over there, that the pediatrics floor was on the ground floor, throwing bricks through the window and so forth. I mean, none of this happened. I get on the phone right away. I've just come from there, and I can assure you that this has not happened at all. But there were, you know, there's always myths and rumors that get circulated when people think they know something.
And so what happened with your nursing career? And actually, you ought to talk about your civic career as well, yeah, before we talk too much more about history.
So at that point, I probably was off just for a short time, and then I got a call, and they needed someone to care for this quadriplegic in his home. So I did that for a couple of years, and I was paid by an insurance company. And I just would go over in the morning. I had 7 days a week, but I had a couple of nurses who would spell me if I wanted to go on vacation or needed a break. And I used them occasionally, and I can remember I mentioned Becky that we met here, wanting to go on a canoe trip with Andy up in the Boundary Waters. And so one of them came in and worked for me that whole week while I was gone. So I did that, and then Jan Shepherdson called, and Dr. Shepherdson needed someone, I thought, for a couple of weeks to come in while his nurse went in the hospital.
But Jan wasn't his nurse then?
No, she didn't want to do anything to do with working in the office.
She was at Mercy.
She was at Mercy. Okay. She, at the time, I think, she had worked with one of the sisters getting the hospice program up and going, and she was really caught up. But she did other things at the hospital too, but she was really caught up in that. And I said, well, I had never worked in an office or anything like that, and what I pictured from programs you see on TV, sitting at a desk, it was not like that at all. He was an internist, but kind of a general practice, a very hectic office. He probably took more IPA patients than anybody in town, and you know, the word is out, so a very caring person. I like organizing. The first day I thought it was because of me. It supposedly was a 9-to-5 job with an hour for lunch. And I thought, gee, this sounds great. We got off about 6 o'clock that night, and I thought it was because of me, but he told me a couple weeks later that we had seen more patients that day in one day than any other day he had ever had in the office. People would call, and we'd have them come on in, and so we'd have a list, but then we'd have another list of all these people we were going to work in. You know, if they had something acute going on in their lives, they weren't told to come back in 2 weeks. You know, we'd say, well, come on over and we'll work you in. But like I say, he did take a lot of IPA patients, and I really liked him because I felt he was a very caring person and really treated everybody well. And so then his nurse got out of the hospital, and it was like a second career for her, and she was in her 50s, and she decided that she really didn't want to come back full time. So we split the job, and at the time, people weren't sharing jobs like that, and he was saying, well, this is okay for a while, but this is really a full-time position. But after a couple of weeks, he was saying, it's really nice having two energetic people. Yeah, because it was 6 days a week. Wednesdays and Saturdays were half days, but it was a 6-day a week. And by splitting it, if you wanted, he didn't care how we split it as long as somebody was there. So we worked that out ourselves and split the salary and so forth. So I ended up being there for 17 years, mm-hmm. and that was my last job.
And then
she left after a while, and then I found someone else. Dorothy Meisenhelder shared the last 10 years with me. And
so when did you decide to be a political person? I mean, besides the strike, besides
that came later. As I told somebody the other night, some people enjoy going bowling, playing cards, and so forth. I got a joy out of doing community activities and the people you work with and meet that way. I worked very hard on that public health referendum that was passed in 1996 to provide public health services out in the county. Champaign-Urbana district goes back to the late 30s or around 1940 sometime. Most counties in the state had countywide public health. I think there were maybe two other places that had a district, so there wasn't much to compare to. Really fine job in the district, but out in the county, and both of my kids lived out in the county, there were no restaurant inspections. The cafeterias and schools were not. The only time they saw a public health official was if they had an incident, and then the state would come in to investigate. And through League of Women Voters, there had been an attempt 20 years prior, so that would have been 76, and League members spearheaded that, and it almost passed, and 20 years prior to that was the first attempt, and I'm not sure the ratio, but it didn't pass. And then as 95 approached, people from healthcare consumers came to a committee meeting of League. I remember we were sitting in Betty Lazarus' house, and they were talking about, through their hotlines and like that, that they felt there was a real need out there for immunizations as well as the inspections, other things too, and wondered if we were interested. And we all said we would be supportive, but we were reaching the age that we were getting kind of tired, and we didn't see it, that we would be the ones spearheading it, but if they wanted to. And so they called a public meeting of anybody who was interested in working on that, and about 50 people showed up, some from churches, some just from individuals out in the community. And healthcare consumers is very good at organizing, so they had already thought about committees that, you know, financial committee, a speaking committee, and so we asked people what they might be interested in, and even that first night kind of divided up and got started. And it was about a year's effort working on that, and it finally passed. My son lived on this farm just north of Penfield, so we were up in that part of the county, so I did door-to-door in both Penfield and Gifford. And I really hadn't signed up for the speaking committee, but they needed more people to speak to groups, so I did do, I remember, a number of business women's groups, and I spoke to a Rotary, I think it was, and we had kind of a script, then we could tailor it, you know, to our own experiences. So it was a very well-organized effort, and it required that everybody in the county vote on it, so people in Champaign-Urbana voted too. And it did pass overwhelmingly in the cities. Out in the county, it got about a 43%. In spite of the myths, I mean, there were the things that, like, churches will not be able to have funeral dinners, which was false. My daughter-in-law, they go to the Flatville Lutheran, she knew some of the things that the pastor was saying from the pulpit. Yeah. Was not, but she didn't know quite how to respond, so she would come to me and ask, and she wrote some articles. Actually, I wrote some of them for her that they put in a newsletter. But it did pass. And then it required the county board chair to make the appointments. And Barkstall.
Vernon.
Yeah. I mean, it was obvious. I mean, he made it very clear. He was against it. He had voted against it.
Oh, I didn't realize
and
that.
We had about 15 people that had really good backgrounds. They had put their names in applications. He wouldn't even speak to them on the phone. And I remember it was January that he said there would be this application period, and there was a, I think it was a 10-day period, I don't remember for sure, but it was not a long, to take applications. And then he extended it because he kind of indicated that he hadn't gotten, he needed more applicants. Oh. Although we knew there were a lot of really good people, but he wouldn't appoint any of them. And they finally, after a couple of months, got, it required a doctor. And he finally got a doctor and a dentist appointed. The dentist was not too terribly supportive either. The doctor was kind of neutral. And then it was almost May until he had all of the appointments. And it was obvious that several of them were people who had voted against this. So by the time they got the full board of eight appointed, I think it was the end of May, they had until July to get a plan up and going. Well, here you had eight people who didn't know each other, and you can imagine a new board. And I remember sitting at that first meeting, a number of us went, and they had to elect a chair, and everybody just sat there silently. And finally, one person agreed to be the chair, who said, I don't know what I'll be doing, but maybe I could do that. And so the Champaign-Urbana Public Health District stepped in then and said they were working on their five-year plan, and they would help them work out a plan. And since the tax wouldn't kick in for a year to be collected, the state had $150,000 that they would give this new district to get a plan up and going. Well, it was almost a half a year. They hadn't provided any services, and they were surprised to find out that now they were only going to get $75,000 because they
half of the year went past.
Half of the year went past, and they thought that was kind of unfair. Yeah. And people like Claudia were there to explain to them, but you haven't provided any services, so that's... And so we kept going, you know, before the appointments, we kept going to the county board meetings. I made a statement, I remember, one night for League of Women Voters, urging them to get these appointments made, and others were doing the same thing, and we'd go to the committee meetings that would deal with that, urging them. I think they were tired of seeing us, but... And I, through League of Women Voters, I had worked on a lot of issues, and I knew that county board dealt with more than just public health services. Mm-hmm. But they also, as a new board, had 5 years to get their funding up, and the voters had approved up to a 10-cent levy. And they started out at 1.25, and it found out that this didn't even begin to cover required services. And then they upped it to, I think it was 2.65. And then they talked about how they had doubled this, you know, tax.
Yeah.
You know, and so the 5 years was approaching. And I had talked to both of my district reps who were Republican and told them how important it was that we felt that if we could get it up to a 5-cent levy, that would be enough to cover the required services and even give them a little bit more to work on. They both promised me that they would vote for it. And I sat there that night and watched both of them vote against it.
Is that when you decided you were
going
to run for board?
And I was so incensed that I had helped other people in their campaigns. I had gone door to door for people, but I hadn't seen myself doing that. And Jerry Parr was our Democratic chair, and I went home that night and called her before I went to bed and said, Jerry, you know, she had urged me before, and I said, Jerry, I'm ready to run. So that was in 2000, and there were six of us as Democrats that were new that ran, and five of us got elected. So for the first time in the history of this county, Democrats had a majority on the board, but it was only a majority of 14 to 13. So for things like electing our new chair, everybody had to be there. And I ran in a district that was, by primary, rated 60% Republican, and I started walking the middle of August, and I walked up through October, and I knocked every door. I had sheets that showed how people voted in primaries, but I just knocked every door, and I came out the top vote getter and knocked off
one of those guys that voted against the health.
Mr. Curtis, I forgot his first name. Dave Johnson got reelected. I was probably the better one of the two. And it was a real exciting time because we not only elected the first Democratic chair, the first woman chair, and the first African American chair, all Trisha Avery, all rolled in one. And I was the first vote that night. I thought, Janet, don't screw this up. You know.
So how long were you on the board, county board?
And then I had to run three more times, and I was on until 2012. And I felt like I was the only person on the board that had any medical background at that time, and it required a county board member to serve on the mental health board. So I was the liaison to the mental health board through that whole time. And then when the nursing home did not have its own board, so they related to the Justice Committee. I didn't chair that in the beginning. There were several other people, but I did chair it later. But we didn't have the time, you know, dealing with the court system and other things to give it the time it really deserved. And then when we hired the consultants, they created the nursing home on board. And that was my last 5 years. So it required one Democrat and one Republican from the county board. So Al Noodle and I were on that board. And I was on until I was no longer on the board. So I felt like I could use my nursing background. I mean, it was the kind of thing I really liked doing.
So let's switch now to a little bit about District 15. You became involved during the Burnham strike, or after the Burnham strike.
Yeah.
And then what was your involvement in the district over the years?
Yeah, I've been trying to think. I don't think I ever really had a leadership position, but I really attended meetings regularly. And as I can remember, we had a lot of programs. Speakers come in and talk to us, and don't ask me what all the topics were, but I found it a learning experience and enjoyed going. And then this would have been, like I say, would have joined probably in 1970, and quite a lot of us joined at that time that hadn't been members prior to that. And a number of them, you know, attended to. The thing that I think I mentioned to you, I got very caught up in probably somewhere in the middle of the 70s when we were working on the Equal Rights Amendment, and this needing three more states, and so Illinois was one of those states that they really hoped that they could get it passed on. So there was a lot of activity going on in the state, and I got involved with that largely in the beginning through League of Women Voters. I remember there were three of us taking off for Springfield almost weekly. There would be some sort of rally there or a vote coming up, and it was very disappointing. And I remember trying to get the District Nurses Association to take a position or get involved.
They
were very hesitant.
Why?
I guess they just didn't see themselves as being politically involved, or afraid that maybe, you know, taking a position that they might lose some support. But I kept giving them some information, and they eventually did. And, you know, the Nurse Association since then, well, at the national and maybe even the state level, had been supportive, which was disappointing to me at first, but I'm rather persistent, so I kept giving them information. So I do remember that, but I felt like they may not have thought of it as being politically involved, but they did prior to that. There would be lobby days for nurses, and we'd usually try to get a group from our district, and I can remember going over for lobby days when we would have a car full or maybe a couple car loads of people going over, you know, that were represented from the district.
Were there any specific things that you remember you
and
were
I'm trying to
lobbying
remember
for?
What that was.
I know that's always
Well, some of the legislation, because back in those days, a lot of the things that the nurses organization was supportive of, the docs were against, you know, so it was, and I think it was trying to get more, like the nurse practitioners, you know, getting them to be able to have, be able to do more things, a little more freedom from under the doctors, and they've come around now, but back in those days, there was a lot of the things that the nurses and organization, as I remember, seemed to support. The medical association was against. I think they were afraid they were going to lose.
Yeah. What about in this community? Were there other specific things that the nurse association took stands on?
Nurses Week, we always had some sort of activity going on. And I'm trying to remember specifics on that, and I can't.
I don't either.
I really can't. But I do remember we always had a presence and would get some press through the things that we were doing. So those were things that I remember that happened. And you know, the sharing of the information that we got from the Illinois Nurses Association that came down through the district. And we had a really good turnout to meetings back in those days. You know, it kind of dwindled off then. And I was mentioning earlier some of the names of people like Charlotte Golden and Eunice Mum and Eloise Lytle. They were all people that seemed to be involved at the state level regularly, and they always went to the state conventions and would bring back information to us. So it was a good way to get information. And the rest of us were supportive, but I never really took any leadership roles.
A couple of people have mentioned District 15's involvement with supporting getting the nurse midwife and practitioners here. Do you have some comment about that?
When I was being interviewed by Deb Cressy, I talked to her a little bit about that. I can remember going to press conferences where we were urging the use of nurse midwives because there weren't any in the community at that time. And I couldn't really remember if I did that, who I did that through. But I can remember making some statements at press conferences, and it may have been through the district because there was a real effort and it very well may have been through the district, and it could have been a coalition too.
And is there anything especially that stands out to you in terms of your memory of District 15, of something that happened besides getting the support for the Equal Rights Amendment? That was pretty big, huh?
Yeah, and they eventually did. It took a couple of years to... I can't remember anything off. I just enjoyed going to the meetings and getting information and feeling that I was part of a group that was working on some of these things, like the nurse midwife,
mm-hmm.
That seemed really important and that you couldn't do by yourself, that it takes a group to call attention to things like that. And I was trying to think if there was anything else mm-hmm. But now Carl has what, maybe almost a dozen nurse midwives.
And nurse practitioners are all over the place,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And we didn't see
those. That's what I was telling my granddaughter the other night, because she, her little one just turned one, and she used nurse midwives at Carl and was very happy with that. And I was telling her that there was a time that they didn't exist.
That was kind of a battle, wasn't it? Do you have any sense about the overall effect that District 15 might have had on this community over that period of time that it was specifically very active?
I'm not sure how much the community realized. I think through Nurses Week, you would get some attention to that, and some people, you know, are more attuned to reading newspapers and like that, and seeing the press. I think they did have leaving an impression, and it was kind of sad to see it kind of dwindle, and they combined with
Danville. Do you remember when that was?
I don't remember the year that would have been, and then that you know, when you get a bigger area to cover and working that out seemed to be a little difficult. And then they made it even broader, and I'm not sure how many other counties they took in, but it just seemed like it was too big an area to kind of have the same kind of activities carry on.
So do you think that kind of expansion contributed to the demise of the district then?
It seemed to me that it did, because they had difficulty then trying to work out how they would do programming and it takes some really strong people, and I think people like, you know, Charlotte and Eunice, they tried hard, you know, from my point of view, it just seemed like it was a struggle to keep that going, and then it just kind of petered out. And it was sad to see it disband, but we just didn't have enough people that... Mm-hmm. It always seemed a little frustrating to me that teachers saw real importance of being a part of their organization, whether it was, and kind of took it for granted, but a lot of nurses that we tried to attract felt that, you know, the amount of money that it cost to be a member, husbands objected or whatever, and they just didn't seem to be strong enough to want to be a part of that, and it was hard to get new members.
That's an interesting parallel you draw. I certainly hadn't thought about that, about, I mean, teachers being primarily female, mm-hmm. probably with families.
Yeah.
And nurses being the same, but
somehow... Yeah, because I saw my teacher's friend just sort of taking it for granted that you would be a part of, and yet when I would talk to some of the nurses that...
Interesting.
My husband thinks that's quite a lot of money, and they just couldn't see the importance somehow of being a part of that.
What do you think could have been done differently to change that?
I'm not sure. But that was kind of a frustration, and one we just didn't seem to be able to figure out. Hmm. And yet, I still keep my membership up, even though it's been over 20 years. I mean, I'm at a level where I forget what it cost me, $70 now, you know.
Yeah, you get old, you don't have to pay so much anymore.
Whereas it used to be close to, what, 200 or something. And maybe I was lucky that...
But the organization has changed a great deal as well, so it's not quite...
Yeah, and it seems strong and...
Yeah. Is there anything else about the district specifically that you think we should...
Get in
for posterity's sake here.
I've been struggling the last couple of days trying to.
I think you've done very well. So
that I can't really. To me, it just seemed those early years. You know, the kind of programming we did was really important, and I learned a lot. And that's why I felt that if other people could join, they could have learned a lot. You know, too. But. I enjoy being a part of the organization. I don't think I ever went to a state convention.
But you were kind of an isolated person in a physician's office as well, so you had that connection then with other nurses in the community that through that. I wonder if maybe people who were daily in connection with other nurses see the same value.
See them. Yeah,
it could be. Kind of an interesting concept, huh? Well, unless you have something else you'd like to add.
I wish I did, but I can't think of anything else.
I have no more questions here. Thank you.